The following is a presentation entitled Digital Media in Worship, presented by Dan Seewert and Dave Helmuth at the Presbyterian Communicators Network Regional Conference in October 2010 called Plugging In Without Shorting Out. Here's part one.
I'm Dan Seewert. I work as an evangelist for the Presbyterian of Carlisle in central Pennsylvania. I grew up going to church, grew up going to a lot of worship services. I actually grew up in an American Baptist church in Southern California. Long story how I got east, I will tell you that some other time. Spent time, of course, now in Presbyterian, also in Anglican and non-denominational churches of various kinds. Have been around a lot of worship. Right now I'm doing something that has a lot to do with worship, but very little to do with the worship service in church planting in a very out-of-the-box, non-traditional way. Married to Allison, I have two teenage, almost teenage boys. It's a little bit about me.
Cool. I'm Dave Helmuth. I work as a worship coach. So I go to partner with all kinds of different churches, helping them develop their worship ministries, helping them develop their leadership teams or organizational structures, helping them with tech stuff, helping on basically anything that helps them to do church. And really, one of my core values, kind of, you know, the way I live life and what I believe, is that we, as the body of Christ, as a church, we are people who follow Christ together, and that's. And basically everything after that is negotiable. So, you know, we have to follow, we have to be on a journey, we have to be moving and active and alive. It has to be around the Christ, it has to be around Christ, you know, God and what he does. And it's got to be doing it in ways that bring us together, not divide us apart. So that's who I am. I grew up in Costa Rica, so I was a missionary kid. My parents were there for 18 years, and my sister and I were born there. And been in Pennsylvania now for 13 years, married for 5 years, have three children, maybe that was prophetic, three children, four and under, so yeah, keep praying for me, and they're back home now, so they're amazing kids, my heart for as a worship coach is really, having been a worship leader for over 20 years, seeing what it's like week in and week out and knowing that what the trench is like and coming to a conference and seeing the great ideas and then like going back to my church to the trench and being like, I don't know what to do now, you know, said we as church leaders really need people to come alongside of us and partner with us and support us and champion us. So that's kind of what I do in worship. So glad to be here.
Digital media has changed everything. Obviously, we're here at this conference, I think, because that's true. It's changed everything. So, you know, is a worship service as we know it still a relevant activity? I mean, will people take time out from their daughter's soccer tournament on a Sunday morning to sit in rows and sing hymns? Will 15 and 16 year olds just stop texting long enough to pay attention to something like that?
And is it possible to turn the tables? Can digital media be our servant and really help us have a God experience in his presence as we're together instead of just being a distraction? And really, you know, what would it look like if that table turns, if that tide turns and the digital revolution that we find ourselves in actually helps us to connect with God, actually helps us to grow closer and deepen our relationship with God. What would that look like?
He is here in this room, in your heart. He is near, nearer than breath, heartbeats, nearer than you are to you, nearer than second chance or next opportunity, closer than tonight or yesterday. He is real, real than touch, see, hear, smell, or taste, realer than reality. He is our reality, realer than joy, pain, sorrow, realer than the love of being in love. He is present like time, space, wind, silence, night. He is waiting like creation, like words on the tip of tongue, like songs that have yet to be sung. He is beauty, oranges, blues, every hue, every shade, sunset and sunrise, whisper his name. He is holy, different, made human, became human, forgave human. He is spirit. He cannot be touched, explains like sweet seconds of prayers, like grandmother on knees, wood floor bare. He is sun, distinctly three, distinctly one, the only wise, the only resurrector of lives. He is king. No earthly throne can house, no amount of elegant words can espouse. He is moments and voice, power of choice, in word and deed, in fruit and seed, pierced side, nailed hands, nailed feet, innocent wounds that bleed. He is belief and trust. He is enough. He is all. He is call and purpose. Everything that we can sacrifice, he's worth it and more, much more. Our good deeds are mere pennies. We'll never even the score. He is behold and wow. He is who, what, when, why, how. He puts on the show. He's the one we come to see. He is soul's cry and sinner's plea. He is the epitome. He's the one no one can light a candle to or come within a million foot pole of. He is above. He is a father's love. He is maker of ways, of earth and wind, ancient of days. Has no fear. Have no fear. God is here.
God, you are actively at work among us. Come and challenge us today. We, Dan and Dave, on behalf of the Church Universal, confess that we need to get out of our boxes.
Amen. And I do have a couple of confessions to make, both for myself and kind of on behalf of the Church Universal. We get into boxes. We get into these boxes and we have a hard time getting out. One of the boxes we get in, we think the church is a building. And we think worship is an event. In some ways makes a lot of common sense. The way we operate, the building needs to be dealt with, to be maintenance, to be painted. The church, the worship is an event, a program that needs to be planned. That's a box. It's not true. Truth is, the church is people. Church is a network of people that are formed and called together by the Spirit of God. The church is people. And worship, though it is kind of an event, is really not that underneath it. It is really one of our primary forms of corporate spiritual discipline. It is a coming together, not just to have an event, not so the numbers are there, not so that the offering plate can be filled. It is people coming together as an act of corporate spiritual discipline that their hearts may somehow be softened and unstuck by the Spirit of God and by the Word, and that they may leave their gathering together change and somehow transform and challenge. Go for it, Dave. All right. Another confession, another box. Healthy church equals smooth flowing worship. I mean, I've been a worship leader for a lot of years, led in college campuses, led in churches, and there's nothing better if you're a worship leader than having everything click off just the way you want. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir, I do.
And you go back, and you feel good. You feel like you've done something. And there's nothing worse than, you know, right in the middle, a kid kicks over your video projector. Or, you know, cell phones go off. A fire engine stops somehow right next to the church. You know, I mean, you know, stuff happens. But there's a box there, and I think it's something, especially as worship leaders and as pastors and as communicators, we get in and we somehow think, if we can just get this system like smoothly flowing in every possible way, that somehow that means our church, our community of people, our network of people called by God is somehow doing well. And the truth is that God doesn't work that way. God interrupts us. We desperately need God to interrupt us all the time. He interrupts us with the people that we didn't think were going to be in church, ending up in church, the people who we didn't think were going to be in our lives that day, in our lives. He interrupts by putting people together who are different from each other in various ways and saying, somehow I'm calling you together a community. And so the truth is, when a church is healthy, it is being interrupted by God. And when it's interrupted by God, its worship will be interrupted at times. It will be awkward because we're broken human beings and God is interrupting in order to heal us. Sure, we want smooth where we can get it, but we also have to kind of embrace the fact that sometimes the best and healthiest worship is one that is not smooth around every edge, because God is breaking into that community and doing something and showing up unexpectedly at times in the worship. Where did I put that box? Can you hand that to me? Susie, you get to be on. Excellent.
Nice. So what are your boxes? Well, be assured, God is at work, and he's moving us out of our boxes. And the work that he began, he will complete.
Summary of the law. Love God. Likewise, love your neighbor as yourself. If that kind of sums it all up, then this really isn't just about your church's or my church's worship service. After all, it's about the whole story. It's about love God, love neighbor, about how God is continually reforming and extending the church, about making it spring up, interrupting in unexpected places, like that small dude up in the sycamore tree in Jericho, or in the slums of Bangkok, or the guy down the street from you who just got out of prison. God extends, God interrupts, and worship should draw us into the love of God and challenge us to love neighbor. But, you know, the coolest, most current worship service does not do evangelism for us. This is another box that we get in, thinking that somehow, you know, we want the world to come. And so if we just somehow make our worship service a little bit cooler, a little bit better, a little bit more excellent, more smooth, we're actually kind of extending and doing that. No, it's important, but you know, there's stuff that we need to do out on the streets, not in our building. There's stuff that we need to do in our neighborhoods. There's ways that the Spirit of God is calling us out to the person who serves coffee to us day in and day out, but with whom we've never had a significant conversation. And if we give ourselves to a life of worship, then what, in some ways, whatever we do in our worship service, as people have given themselves to that life and then come back together in that building, will be good worship.
Why doesn't somebody just crush it before it gets out?
All right. So, you know, Dave, glory be to the Father.
Yes. And to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning.
And is now, and ever shall be.
A world without
end. Amen.
Amen.
God, open our hearts to your word.
Yeah, God, turn on the Jesus flashlight so that in these words, in your scripture, we see you. God. One thing I'll challenge us to do today is to go beyond just putting song lyrics and scripture text and sermon notes onto screens. We use new media a lot of times with old mindsets. We do things the way that we would do without the new media, with the new media. And sometimes it just doesn't work. We can't really treat this as a some huge, you know, piece of paper that we can write on now, or just as a hymnal replacement. There's so much more to it than that. And I want to challenge us as a church to kind of move past that place, not just starting in that place and staying there. But I'll start right where we are as a church. And many of your churches, you know, you're just trying to figure out what to do, where to start, how to get from where you've been and what you've known to where kind of you feel like the world is around you and the way that you can communicate in a way that's more understandable to the people around you. So I do want to cover right now a couple of just practical, like, these are some good practices for using presentation things. And one of the first things is, you just gotta have to have the right tools. You know, today I'm using a presentation software called Easy Worship, and I have every video, every picture, every, you know, I could have song lyrics. I could present. You know, let's say you wanted to suddenly put up something from John. Let's see, John 1:1, and you called for that, and you wanted to do that, and oh look, there it is. I just put it in. It was that fast. That was easy, huh? And now I go back to my plan here. So you need to have good tools. You need to have good presentation software. So this is Easy Worship, but there's also, you know, Media Shout and Pro Presenter and SongShow Plus, and there's several things out there designed for worship that aren't necessarily PowerPoint. Although this does play PowerPoint, and I have been playing PowerPoint through here. So have the right tools first of all. Second, have a bright enough projector. Thank you for being bright enough. Isn't it great that we can actually see, like, the color and the images and some texture on the screen today? And sometimes that's really hard to get to that place where you have enough light on the screen. And it's amazing how much wash can kill. Like, just how much a little bit of light from here or there. There's a church that I was working with, Camp Hill Church of God, and they had these chandeliers up on both sides in the front. Beautiful chandeliers, right? But there was a chandelier, and then there was a screen behind it. And there was just, you couldn't hardly see any of the colors, and it was just awful. So what did we do? I had this genius idea. You know how, like, the incandescent lights have the filament in the middle? We took some, like, high heat resistant tape, like black tape, this thick, like, I don't know, industrial stuff. And we just stuck it on the back side of the bulb. And suddenly the wash was gone. And from the other side, you would have no idea what's going on. So you can do all kinds of little cool ideas to get as much light from not touching the screen. Because that kills your color, kills your clarity, your image, your everything. It ruins it. So have either a super, super, super bright projector, or try something, if you can't afford a super bright projector, try some things to alleviate, at least in that area, the ambient light in the room. The person who's running the projector, usually it wouldn't be the person who's also presenting, but that's fine, I can do that. But the person who is presenting, the projectionist or the VJ or whatever your name for that, the visual worship leader, sometimes they call them, whoever that person is, if you have a person, recruit one if you don't, and should... You know, if you have rehearsals, they should be at rehearsals. You know, you need to have, okay, wait, when is it okay for that person to be given something to use during the service? 5 minutes before? 2 days before, a week before, you know, a month before? What is your criteria? What's the rules of the house? Because really, the best way to have mistakes happen is by not allowing enough time for them to actually practice and get comfortable with things. So if there's songs that you're using it to present lyrics with, and have them there at the rehearsal. Please come. You got to be there. You got to learn the song. You have to know how they're going to be arranged that week and that kind of thing. And then there's things that I use called cue sheets. I call them cue sheets, and they just kind of give us a roadmap. I don't like to do things. I'm not super like this is. I'm not real linear in the way I think about stuff. Like and get really hung up on things. But I have this tool that I use that just helps us plan. Okay, so that we know what's going on. And it says all times are approximate. You see that up there at the top. But the first column is the leader, who's actually doing it, who's in charge. The second column is what time. So as it goes through the progression, you can see, okay, if this service goes kind of as we're thinking it's going to go, let's see, our budget is 12:05, that's okay. 12:15, maybe not okay. Maybe 12:30 is fine. Whatever your time constraints are. What mics are being used, so that somebody doesn't get up there and do the classic, I don't need to demonstrate that because it happens all the time. Right? Is that on? This on? Testing? Oh, there we go. Okay, good. Hate that. But if your tech people know what's coming, they can not mess up like that. If you have lighting things, what media you're using, and then what the actual element or event is. So just some tool to help you plan. And oftentimes you'll use this, and then maybe you'll use this during the service. Maybe it just kind of helps you plan. But then you just kind of go and see what God is saying, and you go on. But at least you had a plan. Hopefully. So that's another tool to use. Let me talk a little bit about the sermon itself. We're in a very image rich, story based metaphor. The environment that we're in is all about image and all about, the things we see and the things you can experience on a lot of levels. What would happen if, as pastors, while we're exegeting text, we're also exegeting image? And we're thinking through, what does this thing mean? What does this picture mean? Or what is this, what's the image that kind of correlates the story or correlates the text that I'm studying, that I'm trying to hear what God is saying about? Is there a picture, is there an image that will help us communicate the same thing visually, that we are kind of with our words and with our kind of on the intellectual level? And let me just throw a couple questions out to you, so you can kind of, these are good things to ask yourself as you're kind of getting into this foray or moving further in using stuff to in using image to help your sermon. Why? It's always a great question. Why am I using PowerPoint? I mean, how many churches have I seen that? Well, that's what everybody's using, so we have to use it, right? I'm trying to be relevant, so I don't know how to use this fangled thing, but I'm going to use it. Well, you really need to know why, because it'll set you up to like use it well and effectively, and be your buddy and make the communication of the message stronger, or it'll just be a distraction. So why are you using it? What should the visual portion of the presentation accomplish? Like, what am I trying to do with that piece of it? What feel am I trying to create? There's a certain feel associated with this picture, isn't it? We could put up other, I could, if I, let's see here. For example, this has a very different feel, doesn't it? You would feel very different if you saw this all day, or even a different color, the same image. But I wanted to have this kind of feel. So what kind of feel are you trying to create? What colors might represent the topic of the content? You can think in colors. What icons, pictures, images from everyday life could represent the topic and story? Because see, here's what I believe. I want us to have metaphors and stories and images in what we're sharing, so that when, the Tuesday through Saturday that I'm not in church, conceivably, and I'm in my normal life, I see things that were referenced in church, and suddenly I remember the information that surrounded that metaphor or that picture. And it's like, oh yeah, I need to learn about it. I remember that now. So in our planning, I don't just want, pictures of, some drawing of Jesus holding a sword or riding on a white horse. I want to see things that I will see later and that will draw me back into the story. And are there any word pictures that I could use as icons? talking about text a little bit, there's the serif fonts and sans serif fonts, you know, the ones that had the Times New Roman that had the little curvy things on the end of them. Those you typically don't want to use on the screen. You usually want to have the sans serif, the ones that are just like Arial and Calibri and Verdana and those kinds of ones. You want to have limited text, please. Okay? I will just show you the unlimited text that doesn't work so well. You ready? Thank you very much. So limited text, short phrases, not long sentences. You know, just get, you have to figure out, again, it's like, why are you using this? Not just to be the bulletin replacement that you have the whole thing up there. What do you want to highlight? What do you want to people to be able to see and to get? Have a consistent look and feel for your morning. Have it kind of be thematic and even like if you're doing a sermon PowerPoint, have it like match from the beginning to the end, one feel, so that because what will happen is that visually, if you're jumping all over the place and different feel going over, that's what it's going to feel like, you know, as I'm trying to listen, I'm like, wait, was that connected to that thought? I'm not sure, because the picture changed, and that just really freaked me out. Like, you won't know necessarily that you're doing that, but you're doing it on the inside. So be consistent. Use good transitions. Don't get all crazy and fancy and all kinds of animations. Be subtle. Be artistic. And I love this question. You know, one of the litmus tests is if this was some sort of art that I was thinking that I was presenting, would I like it? You know, if it feels like a boardroom meeting, you might have a boardroom. So again, and then moving on to songs, you know, again, match the feel. If you're going to use a moving background, match the colors. Just, you know, don't have a fast moving background for a slow song if you're going to do that. It gets people sick. And I'll just propose this to you. A mountain is not necessarily the right picture. A mountain with an eagle flying over it, you know. God is creator of all that, yes, but that doesn't always convey the right thing. So what does the digital media mean to your worship? I mean, is more digital always more better? I think you'll notice that we have used a combination this morning of digital and non-digital. And I think it's important to note that we, like, generationally, like, we're all using media. We're all using digital media if you're, you know, 10 or if you're 60. If you're 60, you might be screaming and kicking a little bit to use it. But everybody, the generation that we're in is using that. And it's just that we use digital media. It doesn't mean that we're, like, going to really connect. It's how we use it. It's what we do with it. And, you know, sometimes the equipment that we use gets in the way. Like, we're trying to be, you know, relevant, but, like, it's so out of our own understandings of how to use it and stuff that it becomes a distraction instead of a help. So sometimes, like, go ahead, I mean, totally use it, but really less is more, you know, and that's really true. So I will contend that more digital in this digital media and worship does not equal more better. That, bro? I need a box. Sorry about that.
I don't want to drop my iPad.
Woo! That was hot. Okay. Oh, hello. Dan says, "Hey, I'm getting bored. Can we be a little bit more interactive?" Thank you. Well, no.
Excuse me. You too.
All right. Well, go ahead, man.
I get a turn?
I'm not stopping you.
All right.
Take over.
See, texting sometimes works. And actually,
you can only do that to the pastor.
That's right.
And just kidding.
We need to talk about that a little bit. Last year, walked into a church in the San Francisco Bay Area Peninsula, Covenant Church, pretty typical West Coast, somewhat contemporary worship service.
And pastor got up to speak and said, I'm going to start speaking, text your questions. And by the end, got the text, he picked out the questions. And that was actually, now I know some of you know this is starting to happen all over the place, and there's a bit of a debate between whether you want your phones on or off in church. I was surprised after I thought about it that it took until last year for me to ever see somebody try something like that. Maybe because of the way we've thought about learning and about sermon and about community, and we've been in too many of those boxes. Now, I'm not up here to say that's the way we all need to go, because I think it's different in different communities and different churches. But I did want to tell you a little bit about, you know, what some people are trying out there, because people are working with digital media and the sermon element of the worship service, and I think some things that are going to evolve that are pretty creative. I mean, some of the first churches were doing Peninsula Covenant is doing. They weren't the first one. Mars Hill in Seattle was one of the early ones. There's others, and there's various ways to kind of have just text questions be the way that the sermon becomes less of a one-way and more of an interactive, more of a conversation. You know our outgoing moderator, Bruce Reyes Chow, and some of you probably know this. In fact, a lot of what I'm going to say is also in a Christianity Today article called Thumb Wars, which you can find online. And they quote Bruce, Mission Bay Community Church. They take a little different approach. They take a Twitter approach, where they have a hashtag, which is basically kind of a way for people on Twitter to find each other. They're all wanting to talk about the same thing. I think it's the hashtag MBCC. And the encouragement for their community, which makes sense for the people that they are reaching out to, is, yeah, you know, Twitter and church, let's all be in this discussion. And it's not coming up necessarily to Bruce or on a screen or anything, but there's an acknowledgement by Bruce and other people preaching in that church that, you know, maybe it's better, given how people think and learn, if they're having this kind of conversation with each other about what I'm saying as I'm saying it. Because, and as he's quoted actually in this article, is, well, this is, we're not asking people to do something weird. This is how people are functioning all the time in our community, in our church, from day to day. And obviously they're Bay Area, they're probably a little bit ahead of Pennsylvania in that way, but you know, that's part of how all of us are being changed. And he said, besides that, it's not something that's not done decently in good order, as we as Presbyterians want to do. He said, you know, we've realized we have to, as a community, learn how to do this together. Just like every other element of worship we've ever introduced into worship historically as a church, somewhat needs to be learned together as a community. And you can go on from there. There's a church called West Winds who actually... Now, this is kind of represents one edge, but actually puts the live Twitter feed without editing up on a screen. And they say, we know this is not for everybody, but the community they're reaching out to, the congregation that they're gathering, that kind of raw liveness helps what they're doing. And so there's a lot going on here, and mostly kind of what I want to say is, you know, there's something here that the church is working on collectively at this point. And it doesn't mean your church needs to do it, but I think we all need to rethink. Church isn't just an event.